The thing about resurrection is you do have to die first. In fact, living in the time of the already and the not yet, it seems we are much more familiar with death than resurrection. Notwithstanding the celebration of this season, when the Christian world sings of resurrection, our song of hope and anticipation is again drowned out by the events in Pakistan today, by that perpetual and universal song of grief. In fact, it seems the shared language of the world is that of grief, wailing, keening, sobbing. We see the signs of death all around us. It's the evidence for resurrection that takes a different kind of seeing. 2 months ago, Cindy and I had to add our chorus to the universal song of grief. I was on my way to meet a couple of friends at Starbucks. My phone rang. I answered it. It was one of those friends telling me that our buddy, who we were on our way to meet, had been in an accident and was non-responsive in the emergency room at Spectrum. Now, this particular friend was no ordinary friend. He was my lifetime friend. We'd known each other for 35 years. And in the last 10 years, we met 5 or 6 times a week for coffee every morning. Since I don't really like coffee, it was a habit born of the simple joy of his companionship. So this was a disorienting phone call. I pulled into the Starbucks parking lot with shaking hands, weak knees, nausea, mental fragmentation. It was as if I was facing a great beast that wanted to tear me limb from limb. I mumbled incoherent prayers on the way to the hospital, but my mind was so derailed I wasn't sure I could even find the emergency room. I think it's true, C.S. Lewis says, grief is a great impersonator of fear. The word non-responsive is the word that is sometimes used over the phone when the full truth needs to be said face to face. As I sat in the waiting room, there was a family behind a door to a tiny consultation room, a wife and 5 kids. As that family received the news, I heard through the door their song, "Rise Up," and join that universal song of grief. A good father, a faithful husband, a singular friend with a bad heart that suddenly and completely failed. It wasn't a car wreck, after all. So that's only my latest experience. We all have anecdotes of death. In fact, if you're of a certain age, getting caught up with your friends is largely reading the obituaries. Death is our solid reality. Resurrection is wrapped in mystery. But it's a mystery that Scripture and our life in the church invites us to contemplate. The more we unwrap that mystery of resurrection, the more it transforms our experience with death. Jesus gave mortal reality to resurrection when he raised Lazarus and when he himself was raised. Now the misery and disorientation of death fits into a greater context of expectation, astonishment, and hope. If we look at resurrection as our ultimate transformation, we can see glimmers of resurrection all around us in the work of the church, in the transformative work of the Holy Spirit. When in the name of the resurrected Christ, hateful people become loving, the faithless become faithful, the selfish become selfless. All these are miraculous transformations, preludes to our ultimate transformation. I heard a report on the news a few years ago about people who have technically died for several minutes, but then come back. They bring back their stories from the brink. Movement towards a bright light, presence of angelic beings, benevolent voices, seeing loved ones, feelings of well-being. Some even describe seeing Jesus. The main point of the report was that these experiences are not rare at all, but quite common. I used to try and find reasons to discount the veracity of these stories, to be the skeptic, but I don't do that anymore. Easter compels us to believe the mystery of our resurrection as certainly as the death of our friends. Some Christians practice daily contemplation of their mortality, not as a morbid obsession, but as a discipline of the faith. The knowledge that we will look into the face of Jesus shapes the kind of life that we lead. I know I'm not the only one who thinks about what it will be like to step across the threshold. But because of the resurrection, I can hold on to this, that I will be able to look into the face of Jesus, to be able to kiss his feet and thank him for my redemption. Sometime after that, I hope, I will be given leave to look up my friend Kirk, sit down with him, and finally have a spectacular cup of coffee. Hymn number 254, please.